This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Why should I pay your light bill if you have that money in the bank?
And that happened. I was recently out to Salvation Army, and people are coming up, and then they found out that, well, do you know you made a deposit? Oh, I didn't know that. They made a deposit long ago. That will pay your bill. So they don't have to give them the $75 or $150 for that month. It's in that down payment.
And, you know, I've been known to detail cars and boats from time to time, and I was in Vero, and a guy asked me, how much are you going to charge this guy for this boat? And I told him. And he paid me for the job that I was doing for the other guy. And he said, don't tell him until he's ready to pay. A good neighbor looks out for a good neighbor. He gifted the price of the boat cleaning.
I see what you're saying.
Paid
in other words,
me.
He paid you, so the other guy
didn't have to pay you.
Why did he do that? Just as a gift?
Because he was a good friend and a good neighbor. And what has happened is, with the codependents, we've become takers.
Yeah.
You know, and we've lost our natural ability to love, to share, to give. And when I give that formula to people, they're amazed. And what I do is, guy comes to me, says he wants $50. I say, okay, here's 10. Now go find 4 more people like me, and you've got your 50.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does say in the scriptures that a man shall enjoy the fruit of his labor. And even when I was young, I remember I was hanging out with my hippie older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an apartment. Next door was this young man who was just 2 years. I was 16, maybe. He was 18. It's at the end of the day, and he's walking by the window. Young, handsome guy, but he has all this paint all over him. But he also had a really nice Camaro with the racing strips, the white ones with the orange strips. And he had earned that. And you could say he walked with a lilt, with a confidence.
Yes.
Because he had earned his keep. It's so much nicer on a Friday night to have a steak or a hamburger or whatever you're having and know, I earned this. A man shall enjoy the fruit of his labor. Whereas if somebody continually gives it to you, plus it says in Thessalonians, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat.
And Deuteronomy.
We had a little more few hungry people. What? Deuteronomy?
I think it's Deuteronomy, probably 8:18. It is the Lord that gives power to get wealth.
Yes, God. Without sorrow.
And so it's up to us to get up and start moving. I mean, if I worked for 7, 6, 5 days to get me a paycheck, and now you want to show up on my house on Friday
yeah.
to get part of my money when you didn't work, you know, I'm not enjoying the fruits of my labor.
Yeah, now, there is a place for mercy, but it's hard for me to give money to when I see a guy asking for money. I'm a 70-year-old, still has to work for a living. He's on the street corner. He's got 2 good legs, 2 good arms. Go get a job. They're looking for people all over the place.
And that's my thing. And going back to the formula that I use, the Bible says give without expecting in return. And so
yes.
what I'll do is I'll give what I can afford to give without ever bringing it back up again.
It's a gift.
I'm good for a 5 or a 10. Anything other than that, I don't know. I don't know if I can help you,
yeah.
but I can give you 5 or 10 and never mention it to anyone.
Yeah.
Never come looking for you. You know, now if you're a trusted friend or, you know, a relative and something's going on, you know, we'll go up into the 50, 200 category.
Yeah, sure. yeah.
You know, you're having a tough time, but I got a 5 or a 10 for anybody.
Now you're the pastor of a church.
I'm one of the associate pastors.
Okay, so do you give money to someone? Because I know people come to churches, but you know they also can get into this. What are we talking about here? Addiction, codependency.
Mm-hmm.
They can go from one church one Sunday, next church the next Sunday. They can get money from all these different churches: the Catholics, the Protestants, the born agains, the whatever.
The Baptists are very organized, and most. For the most part, the deacons run the organizational part of the church. Also, before COVID, it was, now we only do one offering, covers everything. But before COVID, historically in the Baptist, we have a benevolent offering. And that's to go for the poor and the needy. And usually people put $1, $2, $3, $5 in there. And that's a separate account. If it's in the account, we can talk about it. But if it's not in the account, we can't even talk about it.
You can't be the distributor of what you don't have.
Exactly. And we have seen historically that money go up. It just depends on how many people are beating down the door, as you said earlier. If they're coming in, then we first look to the benevolent fund. And then if necessary, the same person keeps coming, the deacons will make an investigation.
Now, how did we get down this rabbit hole? Because we're talking about recovery and stuff.
Recovery. Because everyone is recovering from something. You said it before. We got food addictions. We got emotional addictions.
Sexual
addictions. And
alcohol, drugs, of course.
Maybe in our next segment, we'll go into chemicals that are naturally released in the body. A lot of times we think of drugs as something we drink, smoke, or snort, but there are chemicals. There are three chemicals in the body.
Dopamine,
serotonin, and adrenaline. We can actually be partaking without partaking, but we'll get into that later on.
That's, I did hear recently about when people have the one-armed bandit, they go to Nevada. It's not whether they win or lose. The dopamine's released in the hope at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Whether they win or lose doesn't count. Mm-hmm. They're addicted to that hope.
Mm-hmm. And so when we really look at addiction, again, we said it. When I was out in Vegas, I heard of Emotions Anonymous. Now, when am I supposed to have an emotion?
Seriously.
And when am I not? Eating. When do I eat and not eat? Sex addiction. When is too much, not enough? And oh, my goodness.
But Jesus can break that because he says, I've come to set the captives free. Don't get entangled up. Religion can be an addiction.
Oh.
Well, we've run into those, haven't we?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's another one that hopefully we can get into because the world is hungry now. This yoga craze. Yoga's been around forever.
Yeah, I could sit in the lotus position when I was 13.
Yep.
Now, I didn't even know about this, so it's big now, huh?
Transcendental meditation is a part of the martial arts.
Yep.
But people are hungry for answers.
So there's a big thing with yoga.
They're
I didn't know that.
Hungry for satisfaction.
Yeah.
And so we who believe we got to change our message to the world that Christ is the answer, always was the answer.
Okay.
And Christ
now here's
will,
what I want to know. I've seen you speak, but I never met you before today. Mm-hmm. I did not know you said you studied the Quran and you were a Muslim or?
Yes, three different sects of Islam.
Well, I can't wait to, I hope I get to know you more in the future because we could spend hours doing this. How did you, because I know that some people who are Muslims have said they've had an apparition appear to them,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, whatever, and then they've had a dream,
mm-hmm.
and they've turned from, you know, this one guy was sitting in there, he's dying in the hospital, he says, everybody get out of here, all the doctors, get out of my room, I just want to die alone, and then all of a sudden there's this guy standing there with a beard, and he says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. He said, where's Muhammad? He goes, Muhammad's dead. Jesus. So they come back in the room half an hour later. The guy's sitting in a chair. He's up out of the bed. Says, bring me some food. I'm hungry. He leaves the hospital a couple of days later. Jesus healed him and saved him.
God is the answer and always.
Now, how did this happen to you, Dwight? And by the way, in case you're listening just to the audio version, we're talking with Pastor Dwight, what's your last name?
Hadley.
Hadley. He's in recovery, and the name of your church in Fort Pierce, Florida is?
St. Matthew's Missionary Baptist
Church. St. Matthew's Missionary Baptist. So how did you go, sir, from a Muslim, which you studied,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to learn from you about that, because mm-hmm. I haven't really been resolute in studying that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from Muhammad to Jesus?
Well, a little bit of background. We're still on topic because, as I stated earlier, I did two different sects of Buddhism, three different sects of Islam. I've never been afraid of a God idea or a God movement or a God concept. I just wanted to have the right one. And so, in my involvement with martial arts,
I
was introduced to Buddhism because that is the background for martial arts. But while teaching martial arts, I ran into a lot of New Yorkers who deal with martial arts. And a lot of them are Muslim, and a very special sect of Islam called the 5% Nation, which deserves their own TV show for real. I was a Sunni, which means straight out of the book. And then I'll answer your question directly. I was also a 5%er. Fellowship of Earths and Gods. And then I was also a part of the Black American Muslim movement started by Elijah Muhammad with your Farrakhan and Malcolm X thing. So those are the three different sects. I was studying these things from the outside in. And then one day, as you just stated, the real guy showed up and kicked all of that stuff. I was very heavy into my drug addiction, and I was grasping at straws, and I just wanted something to do and something to believe in. And somehow, I picked up my Bible in the living room, and I'm reading it, and I hit Isaiah 6 and 8. And the words thundered off the page. They resonated in my heart, and I literally heard the voice of God.
You did.
Say, whom shall I send, and who will go for me? It was a threefold manifestation. My eyeballs saw the words jump. My ears heard an audible voice in the room.
I believe you.
And my interior. And
I felt that, too. I've heard it. You hear it kind of like...
I put the book down, and I wept, because very shortly after that, it says, here I am, Lord, send me.
Wow.
Isaiah 6 and 8.
Wow.
And I wept for about 30 minutes uncontrollably, because I knew that God was asking me to do a work for him, and I am completely strung out on drugs. How is that going to happen? Well, fast forward, fill in the blanks. I've never asked anyone to preach. Never. Not one time. I've always been asked to preach.
Really? You never asked to preach?
No, never.
In other words, you never pushed, promoted yourself?
Never, not one time.
Wow.
Anytime.
I guess I should feel bad. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me to preach. May not be my calling, I guess.
Yeah, anytime I'm asked to speak anywhere, it's because someone asked me to do so, and God made a way.
Really?
But there was a lot of changes that I had to go through, and I still had the residue of the drug thing pulling at me. But a lot of weird, here's the bad thing about drugs, they're all consuming. Once you become an alcoholic or an addict or whatever,
it's
a gambler.
It's a beast, it's a demon that owns you.
And it goes with the gambling, as you said before, it goes with anything. If you are an addicted person or have an addictive personality,
yes,
and you go back to it, I think it was Peter said, a dog returning to his vomit.
Yes.
And I think Paul said it's something that overtakes you. So I struggled for about 7 years, and then I finally found recovery. But here's the thing. I didn't get into it enough, but once again, God stepped in. February the 18th, 1998. I was not trying to get off drugs.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host.